from the fabulous north side of Racine, Wisconsin. It's the podcast that's elbow deep into gaming. Dice, Cans, and Beer!
Yeah!
Why'd you stop at the elbow?
No! You had to go there. At least Elbow Farm.
I'm waiting for this beer.
I know. We keep kind of putting
Tyler's it off. Back in the house. Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It
feels
well,
so right.
Well, Laura hasn't been here for a while either.
Yeah, it's been
two episodes.
Yeah, well, it's been like two episodes.
For him, it's been like 1,000 episodes.
I know. I'm just saying. It's been a bit.
Longer than the actual podcast. I actually went back in time.
It's true. He went back in time.
Removed myself from the podcast.
This isn't actually a podcast. This is your intervention.
We're going to back
you into a corner and yell at you incessantly.
We were going to do that anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a typical day for me.
Exactly.
Well... By the power vested in me by the state of Wisconsin, I now declare Beer Court
in session
to order. Beer Court.
So what's on Beer Court tonight?
So this weird-ass beer is by a brewery called Three Floyds Brewery out of Indiana. And this is Yum Yum, and you could not definitely discern it from this crazy-ass box. It's definitely an eye-catcher, but it is an American-style ale. American Session Ale is what they call it. I had it, Brad gave it to me, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I found it a couple more times just because I really like it. It's almost kind of like... fixed gear, but a little less red. Again, it's a little bit hoppy, little sweetness afterwards, and I really liked it, and I think it's a really good beer, and a really old beer, so I hope you guys enjoy it.
All right, let's give it a try and see what we have. Can you pop this open?
All right, good. It smells pretty good.
Cheers.
Yeah. All right. No,
it is yummy.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Truth in advertising!
That's some kind of hook to it.
Well, it starts sweet.
Fish
hooks.
They put fish hooks in.
I mean, it's got that. It's sweet on the front, but it's really hoppy on the end.
That's the thing too. Is like I think this really walks the line of where I can deal with hops too. Because I'm not a hop person.
Me and you were talking about this on Friday. Neither of us are hoppy. Like I don't like IPAs.
And I can't do it.
But this I actually do like.
Yeah, it gives you a little taste of that hoppiness, but without battering you in the head with it.
And the way it works too is like there are hoppy beers that are just overpowering this. Like you get more of like that grapefruit hoppiness that makes it more enjoyable than a lot of other hoppy beers.
And it doesn't stick to your tongue as much. I've had hoppy beers I drank one or two of, and then all you can really taste it builds up.
Night, yeah,
but like I legitimately like cracked down a 6-pack of that last weekend. And it was like ooh. Just fine.
Mm-hmm. I do like happy beers. This one is
unusual in this one.
No, it's pretty. It's a pretty straightforward ale.
LSD, actually.
Yeah. You know, like
by the bottle.
No, solo man. We're
gonna be tripping hard by the end.
We've had our lemongrass. We've had our
cactus beer.
Cactus beer.
Right. So we've had different things, and I keep tasting something just a little, and maybe it's the type of hop. That's in there or something. There's just this little.
I would recommend, and again, this is not the first time I've tried this. We chill this next time a little more.
You know, actually,
it's a lot better cold.
You know something? I actually don't mind it a little warm like this. I think it's a little hoppier than when we had it cold.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's why
it
I like it.
It brings out
better.
The flavors
I
when it's not.
I think
as
you're
cold.
Getting a lot more of the hoppiness now that when we had it the night of the party, it was really cold. Cold.
Yeah,
it's smooth. I like the sigh on that part.
The sweetness that I'm not used to with that.
You know, it is interesting that it is interesting that it was that sweet on the front end.
Yeah.
And because it was colder, I don't remember being this sweet on the front end when we first.
You're also drinking a little more.
I thought you were going to hit Larry or something.
But
that happens.
That's after the show
because it smells like it would be really sweet.
Yeah,
it does.
Smells much sweeter.
It smells like it'd be very sweet, but it just has a nice mild sweetness to it. Not like an overly sugary sweet, but more like when you actually eat like a fruit or something.
Yeah, no, it smells fruity, actually. Mm. And that could be the
hops. You probably get those citrus notes when you burp.
Oh, no, that was last week.
Oh my god, that beer! That beer was wizardry.
It really was. I'm sorry. I'm still amazed by that.
That blood orange by the Dude Brewery.
The Dude Brewery had that.
Yeah. Last week's episode. Highly recommend you check it out.
You gotta watch the beer review on that one. So the beer was supposed to be blood orange, but we all drink it, and there is no citrus
orange
flavor at all. Could not taste citrus at all.
Tastes like chocolate.
Yeah.
There was a lot of cocoa.
Yeah.
They called it hot.
And then, like,
cocoa
3 minutes in, we're like, okay. Somebody burped and, like, oh, there's the orange. And then it wasn't just one person, and I just made myself burp. I was like, holy crap, there's the orange!
That's really weird.
It was weird.
Okay, so what's the alcohol content on this one, Trav?
This one is, I do not know. That's
I
a good
am looking
question.
For it. I do not see it on the outside of the thing. It says it's a session ale, so I'm going to bet in the 4 or 5 mark.
100%.
It doesn't taste that boozy.
Yeah, it's probably not that bad. Again, we can take a look at it and come back.
Yeah, I think that's the unusual note. It's just the hoppiness with sweet.
You know, that is unusual to have something. Yeah, usually, again, sweet beers don't tend to be hoppy like this. And this has that sweet front end.
All right, well, what do you guys think?
Well, I'm giving it a thumbs up. I'm going to tell you right now, I actually prefer it slightly warmer. I think you get more of the flavor out of
it. 5.5%.
Okay, so yeah, so it's a session ale. I think you get more flavor out of it warmer than you did cold. It was good cold, too. I mean, it was really good cold. But I kind of like now the fact it's a little sweeter and a little hoppier at the end.
Our rating system is highly scientific.
Yeah, you like this?
Yeah.
Hey, we've had some in between.
Yeah, we've had a few. You can be kind of limp. All right.
They say you can be, but Tom, they don't like it.
All right.
Push and roll.
This is the first time that's
ever happened. Again, it's nothing super fancy. I just think it's just an all-around...
I think it's a good drinkable beer.
I think we had a unanimous.
Yeah, I think that was a unanimous.
Yeah, plus you're not going to miss this.
Another good one from Three Floyds.
Yeah, they also did Gumball Head.
Yeah, and we've done Gumball Head on the show. I can't think of anything bad we've had from them.
Yeah.
They really are
pretty impressed.
Just a consistent, solid brewery.
All right, again, this is not normally a beer I would drink, beer I would drink either, and the fact I liked it so much, I was like, oh, man, I gotta
yeah, the fact
they must have a good beer taster. You know, it's a professional job for some people,
I
right?
do know
like,
that, yes.
Wow!
You know,
All right.
Judge Rob, pass verdict on this.
On charge one... of being happy-go-lucky, I find you guilty. On charge two of false advertising on being yummy, I find you not freaking guilty, because you are a yummy little bitch. And I am sentencing you to drinking. I've already pumped my way through half.
I'm literally down to half a bottle. This is a good drinkable beer.
Yeah, you're a solid beer, god damn it. And you should go free and multiply.
Okay, so Rob, why is the real reason we are sitting down in the studio of G2B Towers tonight?
Well, I am here with
Shane
and
Dave.
And they are with?
We're from Arcadeholics LLC.
Yep, and we're going to talk about something they're creating, and I guess we're going to start with the game.
Okay.
Should we talk about the game part or the arcade part first?
I want to talk about the game development first. So, I'm going to have you pronounce the game you want to say.
Cosmotron. So the name of the game that we have created and we're still in development on is called Cosmotrons. You got to say it like that. Cosmotrons.
It's very calm when you say it.
It didn't really have a soothing effect on the audience. I was really good on that one. I like that.
Zen music.
I'm not sure how a spaceship shooting each other to pieces turns so calm.
Oh, no, I'm good with you.
Because they're pieces with themselves.
I see what you did there.
Ouch.
That was pretty funny.
That was a dad joke.
Well, we are nothing if not that. The puns.
All right, so Cosmotrons is the game that you are coming out with. It's been available. Actually, you had a demo download available for it for a while.
Yep.
So people may have already experienced the game, but you're taking it a step further than just a downloadable demo and so on. And we'll get into that in just a bit. But let's go ahead and go. What is the idea behind Cosmotrons? What type of game would you describe it as?
Sure. So basically, it boils down to that multiplayer experience, so like battling with your friends. You know, just fist thrusting, if you want to, you know, you
if you want to go elbow deep.
I'm going to go, yeah.
Or not, farther. But not that style of fist thrusting. But like, you know, you're excited, you're yelling at each other. It's like those, you know, like, kind of like you're playing Street Fighter, that moment where you're like, you got a close battle, down to the last health, and just those types of feelings. That's what the game is about, trying to reproduce those types of feelings. So definitely, you know, like the couch multiplayer type aspect, that's definitely what we really wanted to, the type of experience we wanted to users to have when they play the game, just that excitement and so on, battling against each other and so on. So that's the short story about it, for sure.
Nice. That was kind of a short story. So I'm gonna drag it out a little bit.
Yeah. I think.
Wait. Go ahead.
So I'm probably gonna be redundant because I miss things. And but I mean, you know, as far as like having that couch experience and stuff, I mean, this isn't being designed as like a PC game or that. It's being designed as a.
So I guess you could say it. The main idea is it's an arcade like game. So it's definitely inspired by those early 1980s arcade games where you have that very pure mechanics where. Like, one thing Dave and I were just kind of not inspired by, like, a lot of the new games, we kind of wanted these type of bring back this type of feeling where the artwork doesn't distract you as much. It's like, it's all about the gameplay, it's about the skill, and it's about that experience you have playing with each other. So that's why...
Well, and standing next to each other,
exactly.
You know, and
right. Exactly. And that goes back down to what we were talking about earlier. It is this shouting at each other, playing against each other, what we call couch cooperative game type play goes a long way. You don't need all the fancy stuff to go with that. What you need is solid game mechanics.
Exactly.
Yep. And that's... Yeah, that was an interesting point you brought up, like, kind of about, you know, how artwork and thing or design can be distraction. I mean, again, you can have these very intricate games, and you're having these big multiplayer battlefields of, you know, 32 players, but it can still feel kind of barren because there's just so much going on. It's kind of hard to get that experience. So there's a lot to be said with something with that you can pick up, learning, you know, a minute or two, and then, you know, kind of go to town with your friends about. I do say, like, I like the resurgence in that kind of gaming.
Mm-hmm. Right, so something I talk about a lot, because, again, a lot of us have busy lives. I don't have 20 hours to dedicate to a game.
Yep, I want progression.
I want a game I can drop into, play for 5 minutes with my buds, play for 10 minutes with my buds, okay, let's go have a beer, come back, and go again.
And drop in, kill some shit.
Well, that too. So, to me, that's always a big plus on that. So, the game now is right now, so it was available again as a demo download. You guys did a Kickstart for the...
We have not done a Kickstarter yet. The demo that we first released, we called it a very early, like, concept demo. It was just to see if people liked the type of mechanics, because it is kind of a different type of multiplayer game. Whereas most multiplayer games, it's like, hey, let's shoot at each other, you know, just like it's humans shooting at each other or ducks shooting at each other or something, you know. Whereas this is ships, but gravity's pulling you down. So I know there's some other multiplayer games where it's like, you know, there's not gravity and it's just you're just flying around in space. But for ours, what's different about ours is you're fighting gravity and you're fighting each other. So it's very, very dangerous. Like,
you know, that sounds familiar to me.
Does it really? You think, Larry?
A little bit.
Maybe.
Any influence from the Vectrex game?
Vectrex? So, in terms of Vectrex, the console, so...
Because there is a game kind of similar where there's a center planet that is sort of disrupted.
Yeah, but that wasn't just on the Vectrex. That was just just an overall general arcade.
So I'm sure you guys, of course, you know Asteroids, you know Space Duel. Do you guys know Gravatar?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So,
world.
So Gravatar, and it's actually, I actually have the arcade machine Gravatar too.
Okay,
I love that game.
Really? Oh, nice.
Yep, I have Space Duel as well, but, and you know, those games, you know, it visually looks very similar to it, and you got the mechanic of the gravity, but in terms of the actual gameplay, what else we have with the game? Because what's very unique about the game, compared to a lot of other multiplayers, is asymmetrical battle. So you can, it kind of, like... You choose. What ship are you? What ship are you? What ship do you want to play with?
Be the ship.
Be the ship. So, with that, I brought something. So, Dave and I, we brought something for you guys. As a thanks for...
To be the ship.
For having us on the show, we brought you some limited edition Cosmos...
Oh, no! That is awesome!
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Bring it up.
I gotta bring this up to the camera so you guys can see this, because this is awesome.
So, very limited edition Cosmotrons beer.
Totally custom.
Cosmotrons.
Very
yes.
good.
All right. Well, I don't know.
So now,
it's delayed.
30-second delay.
Like we were saying, with
you got it.
With the asymmetrical gameplay, what flavor is that, Tom?
It's the fighter flavor, okay.
This is the fighter flavor. So this is kind of the standard beer. You know, you can go to it. It's kind of has everything you're kind of looking for. You can always go back to it. You know, it's the standard thing. You know,
right.
It feels good.
You can be the fighter all night.
Exactly.
Right. That's true. Everybody is the fighter.
All night.
So then we also have
several beers.
We have the...
I like where this is going.
I like where this is going.
Another flavor is the jalopy. So if you're familiar, I don't know if you're familiar with that term, kind of an old term for like run down, beat up cars. So if you notice, this is basically the fighter. So if you put the two together, it's the fighter except the it has only one thruster, it has a big crack down it.
Why do I want to play as that?
So,
well, now that's a good question. That is a very good reference.
That is a good question.
Bob challenge? In the black hole.
So the difference between the jalopy and the fighter is if you notice, the jalopy only has one thruster. So thus, it will use less fuel.
Oh!
And because, now, what's kind of funny about the jalopy is you try and drive straight, it doesn't. It's like a beat-up car with a bad alignment.
Pushes off to the right a little bit.
Yep.
All right.
So I'm afraid of what he's going to say.
I'm going to take it that the if I drink the... I'm not drinking the jalopy. Well, wait a minute.
It's a different type of flavor, you know?
Right.
It's a different flavor. It's got different attributes.
Yep.
It's got different attributes.
It might, but I'm going to tend to go to the... In this case, to the right all night.
You introduced that one.
All right, so...
Because you have experience with that, Tom?
We've got the Beast. Right, as you can see, Beast is a little different.
Yeah.
Looks
Beast
evil.
Actually, so... As we've got different beer types, right? This
is getting better and better.
This ship type actually, the Beast shoots two bullets, so it offset. You can see kind of how the other ships kind of come to a point. The Beast has got 2 points at the top; it shoots bullets out of each point. So as you can see, kind of just like all these different beers, our different ships all have different attributes. You kind of, you know, the playstyle changes because when you play different ships, the way that they move, their acceleration, their top speed, their maybe rate of fire, the amount of bullets that they can have on the screen all changes, so your play styles should adjust, just like you might, you know, all these different beer types.
So the beast looks hella cool. What's the drawback on the Beast?
Does it need a lot of fuel?
The Beast uses
you get drunk faster.
The Beast uses more fuel. The Beast moves a little bit slower, right? It doesn't have quite the same exact handling capability.
That's so nimble.
Yeah, it's not quite as nimble as some of the other ships. But it does have some other cool things. Like I said, the ability to shoot multiple bullets, you get a little bit better spread, things like that. So
that helps me.
And it's kind of a fat.
And you can't aim.
It's kind of a fat.
Spray yeah, spray. Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I'm
Mr.
Spray. I need the Beast, for sure.
So another one. So you mind if we keep going?
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
We are on a roll here.
Keep going. Here's something I want you guys to think about, is which ship are you? Which ship best represents you?
So far, Beast.
I am heavy weapons, guys.
I'm thinking on the jalopy.
I have seen you swerve in time.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say, there's a badge of honor for the man who chooses the jalopy.
All right, because it's always to the right.
So that requires some hair
with
on
everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
And I was going to bring a broken, because like it's cracked, I was going to crack the glass, but I didn't think...
No, thank you for not cracking the glass.
No way to waste the beer.
Later on, we will crack the corks.
We'll drink them.
Yeah.
So, the squid...
Very similar to the fighter.
You know, it handles the same. It uses the same amount of fuel, that kind of stuff. But it shoots out its rear end.
That's mine.
Nice.
So I think, honestly, the most probably satisfying ship to kill people with, the sniper. Sniper, every certain amount of time, you get a fast-firing bullet that can actually move through terrain. And it feels really good to snipe across the map.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
You gotta hide a while.
Yeah.
And just call it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So every once in a while, the sniper gets a regular, you know, a sniper shot, moves really fast, goes through terrain. Then it gets a couple of bullets that it can fire that are kind of regular. Bullets move a little bit slower. You know, I don't want to give it too much of an advantage. There's a certain balancing act, right? One of the key things, like Shane said, is making this that it's a fun multiplayer
game for friends to play, but balance is really paramount when it comes to that. So we've done a lot of playtesting, a lot of tweaking the numbers, and some of it, we're still in early development, so we're still kind of working through a little bit, but it is very fun, you know, to play all these different ship types and see how people use them and utilize them. And you know, sometimes somebody will try a new ship type out, and they go, wow, this is super overpowered. And then they realize how to play against it and how to maybe change your strategy a little bit. So that's been really interesting to see as people
Okay, so, play the game. So far you've introduced...
Five different ships.
There's more. And this is what we have right now. So we have six different ship types right now.
Okay.
And you know we have some other ones in mind. We don't know if we're gonna bring them out or not. We'll see what happens. But this one is in. This is called the Recruit. So this is more of you like, hey, I'm just kind of starting out. You know, if it's compared to a beer, maybe it's a light. You know, like a Miller Lite or something like that.
Everyone
know?
Just kills it easily?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm going to go on record and say that Shane just likes to make excuses for why, when I kill him with the Recruit, he's got a line of excuses.
So notice how
it's the noob ship.
He admitted to taking the Recruit.
I do. I like the Recruit. I like the Recruit. The
thing with those got a slim profile. It's a little less easy.
Yes, and you know what? It's nimble. It moves faster, so you can do a lot more evasive maneuvering when required. So I like the speed. I like the fact that it rotates a little faster.
I just like to throw out other relevant other things that are. It's the Eldar of
beer. Games. I'm sorry. Beer games.
Ships. That's basically where I stayed.
Real quick, 5 second side note. Yeah, there is a Dawn of War 3 coming out, and it is going to be a lot more like Dawn of War 1. Tyler showed me, and I'm very excited.
Yes, that was a great
one. That was
a
good side.
Sorry about
the side. Good side.
So now you have six total ships. Is that how many players can be on at the same time?
So as of right now, the maximum amount of players is 4 players.
Okay.
We've talked about going up to 6. We've talked about some different ideas related to a quantity of players and so on. And but definitely 4 player for sure. 1, 2, 3, or 4 player. So there is.
Well, I mean, it's all right to have way more choices in than players.
So we're like, what we're finding is with the map sizes and so on. So for sure, we're very comfortable with the 4.
Yeah, it depends. Like, I would assume, like, if you had 6 players on the screen, it would be pretty chaotic. You want to be able to learn. You don't want to just get shot in the back and say, oh, man, like, where the heck did that come from? You want to be able to actually see how your opponents are maneuvering.
It's a classic arcade style to have 4, you know?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, Warlords, you know? It's just...
Yep, and
yeah,
that's
you
a
really
big part
respect
of
for that one, didn't you?
I mean, Warlords.
No, I didn't say it was a good game.
He's like, throwing all
you
things.
Really Warlords reached back. You could have done Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or anything like that.
Come on now.
Larry, air high five for Warlords. I actually have a stand up which is only 2 player, but the cocktail is more.
Curiosity. Is it a total video game or a part mirror and 3D modeling?
Warlords?
It's all video.
I've been out at MGC, and they have a Warlords that was partially video games and partially mirrored 3D molding for like
so
the castles.
The Warlords
and that,
upright,
yeah.
Yes, it has that mirrored effect.
Oh, it does,
the monitor is sitting down in the cabinet, and you have the mirrored effect with the fluorescent paint.
Yeah,
the cardboard castles.
They actually have 3D models that is part of the video game graphics.
I don't remember that one at the arcade.
So with Cosmotrons here. Yep. So what I see you have space battles again. The movement is very interesting because again you have to kind of get used to propelling your ship up and down, avoiding obstacles as well as avoiding your enemy's shots.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I saw the terrains randomly generated or are there multiple levels you can choose from? I saw some of the battlefields are kind of interesting, kind of seeing how people maneuvered around those stages.
Yep. So the terrain is not procedurally generated. We have designed every single map. Usually what we do is we draw them on paper first and kind of actually, like with the pencil, I kind of actually flow around how will the ship possibly move, you know? So like in just kind of different ideas and inspirations, whether it's from experiences in our lives, you know, like Volcano. This last summer, we went up to Mount St. Helens and climbed Mount St. Helens, you know, it's like, oh, I got to do a Volcano map.
there's a map called Death Valley. And I was in Death Valley, and, you know, it's like, oh, you're dying in the game, so it's, you know, Death Valley. So the maps, we draw them out by hand, and then we draw them on the computer, test them out, lots and lots and lots of play testing and modifying the maps. So some of these maps are on, like, the, you know, like, stage 5 or 6 of numerous play testing, and just like you're saying, like, the flowing through, and kind of like Joust and Mario Bros., the arcade, you can wrap through the screen.
Okay.
And it depends on the map, sometimes vertically, sometimes horizontally.
Sometimes both.
I see my dad all the time in Space War.
So earlier you talked about having one of the things that is maybe, you know, is unique to this, but is kind of uncommon in games is that sort of random other element, right? So gravity is a random other element. So is there any other time bomb sort of elements that, you know, like, okay, you're in Death Valley, and everybody's ship is going to overheat in the next...
I like that idea. We have
5 minutes or something like that, you know? So either you win or you all die, you know, kind of stuff.
It's an interesting concept, yeah. We've had other environmental type things, you know, right? Like there's some maps that there are kind of storm clouds going over the top, and every once in a while it's random and lightning will strike.
Right.
And if you get hit by the lightning,
perfect position!
Yeah, right?
There's some maps. I like that.
There's some maps where you're in a cave of some sort, and there's kind of stalactites hanging from the ceiling, and they randomly start to break off and drop, and you might get pegged by one of those. The volcano erupts, and the eruption can kill you.
That's cool. Yeah.
Things like that. And then the only other mechanic, I guess, is that, you know, there's fuel. So as you're doing things in the game, you're using your throttle, you're using up fuel, so you can just run out of fuel, and all of a sudden you're just falling to your death until you have
is there refueling stations where, you know,
there is.
Smart snipers can, like, you know, pick you off
at all right, I think we found Larry's ship.
I think I hear a sniper.
Yeah, this is going to be your beer for the rest of the night.
You get to drink that beer. You're the sniper.
Yeah, I'll end up in the jalopy, by the way.
I don't think we've got enough jalopy beers for everybody.
You know, I get it.
I'm all jalopied out.
I do kind of understand the whole thing of you don't necessarily... It's playing smart, not playing strong or playing... And that's the whole idea behind making that kind of a ship.
Yes.
Same with the sniper ship.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, again, you can say, oh, I want the strongest ship, I want the fastest ship, I want the most weapons on the ship. But again, sometimes, again, when you scale back on other things or you stealth or camp,
Battlestar
Galactica survived because it was not.
Exactly.
It was not the top ship.
That's right.
To go back to your fuel question, there are fuel points in the map, and that's actually something we've also spent a lot of time balancing out, is making sure that there's not too much available fuel and too little so that that's all you're fighting over.
Yeah.
But they do become... As you play the game and understand the strategy a little more, they become contested points, and you can either fight over them or kind of let people bait them into it, right? I know you're going to go for that, right? So I'm going to sit here and kind of guard it from a distance.
Now, my question is, regular spice wars. How it works is it unlimited or is it a limited resource?
So there's only ever 2 maximum fuel spawn points on the map, okay? And when one gets picked up, we set it up so that another one will spawn a little later.
Okay.
But it is somewhat limited. I mean, it will keep...
Since it won't keep showing up.
You can't fly forever.
Yeah, like, but you can't fly.
You're going to die.
Yes.
You will die.
You will run out of fuel, and you will die.
So if I destroy a fuel point, it will eventually respawn, but not necessarily right away.
And not necessarily in that same spot.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of random places fuel can spawn.
Okay. So if I... refueled, can Tyler then come refuel right after me?
Not at the same place. That fuel will be gone at least for some period of time, and it never shows up in the same spot twice.
I'm still going to carry it anyway.
Yeah, that's fine.
But only for Tyler.
So, what was kind of like the inspiration, like what said, hey, I want to make this game?
Yeah. So, like, this idea I actually kind of had for over a year. Just, I've been looking for this type of game. You know, searching on Steam, you know, all the games on Steam and so on, I can't find the game that I want. I want a gravity-based couch multiplayer type game. And, you know, we keep saying college multiplayer. It just, we have talked about possibly doing online as well. That's something we're talking about. But, and it's kind of like, I couldn't find what I wanted. So I was like, oh, crap. Should I just try making it? So I tried making it and made a prototype. And my programming skills are limited. You know, I got so far. And Dave and I, we've been good friends for about 13 years or so. And he's professionally a programmer. So, I'm a teacher, and I teach, like, a middle school teacher. I teach, like, a design-type class, you know, and I actually taught a game and film-type class. So I'm really into, like, I really like design. I'm not saying I'm necessarily, you know, like, amazing designer or something, but really like it. So it's like, you know, let's combine our skills and do this. Let's make this happen because, and, you know, as I've talked with you guys before, so the arcade collection in my house, I pictured having my own custom arcade cabinet of my own or our game in my house. And, like, people come, like, say people come to my house, they don't know that when they first see it, they're like, now what is that?
I've never heard of that game.
Something
you haven't seen, yeah.
Yeah, we made that.
That's
us.
That's going to be, like, a funny road to be down.
I was going
to
say, that's awesome.
He was actually at my house one day, and he brought the game over, and he showed it to me, and we were playing it, and he was then talking to me, and we're sitting there, and he's talking about, well, I want to be able to do this, and, right, how do I accomplish this feature? And I'm trying to explain to him from my programming standpoint, this is what you would do, and I can just kind of see that glazed over look. And that's the point where I realized that I was taking over the programming.
What a good friend.
You win.
So, you've talked a little bit about the whole thing that you wanted this arcade game at your house.
Yep.
And that brings up something we haven't started even talking about. Oh, yeah, there's so much to go down to, but I do want to kind of bring it up. So we've actually seen pictures, and we will have pictures on the website of the cabinet you guys are working on.
Yeah, on their social media as well.
Yeah, this cabinet's really amazing. So
thank you.
From a lot of standpoints, one, it's a big cabinet.
Yes.
Holy crap, it's a big cabinet.
Yes. Four people can stand there comfortably, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not the standard form factor for an arcade game.
Right.
It's a fairly large arcade game. Is this something you've considered as far as placement afterwards? I mean,
you mean like on location kind of deal?
Yeah.
The problem with that is I don't think anybody would want to pay what it costs to build that. So that would be the problem. The location will be in my house. We've talked about taking it to, like, let's say some different, you know, it's like the game kind of bars in the area, you know, other arcade.
Right.
We talked about doing that.
Doing game nights and so on.
Exactly, that kind of stuff. But in terms of mass producing a cabinet or something like that. Like,
at least of that style.
That style, right?
Because probably not what we're
going to do.
It's just so custom, and there's just so many things that are very expensive on it.
Quite honestly, it's almost more of like a, right, obviously project. Shane wants it for his house. That's probably one of the top reasons, right? No. It's a promotional item, though, right? Yeah. It's something that, like, we're going to be able to take to MGC. We're going to be able to take, you know, places and show off the game. And it's an eye-catcher, right?
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Thing is, you just said, I'm going to mention, we will be mentioning it again in the show. So in about 2.5 weeks, this show drops on Thursday, so literally just about 2 weeks from there, is the Midwest Gaming Classic, like we don't talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Never been there, no idea what it is.
These gentlemen will be bringing their prototype out there, and we'll be showing what the work done so far on it. Again, it looks amazing.
Cool.
I think two years ago, the most popular arcade machine was a new one that was a four-player, too.
That was actually...
Killer Queen! Wow.
Yeah, Killer Queen.
That's 2 5-players.
That's 2 5-players.
And that's one thing that really kind of got Dave and I going, because we're like, this is so much fun, you know, playing, you got 5v5, and just, again, just that social experience.
Yeah, that experience of sitting there with five people, I mean, four other people that you just met that day at MGC... Right. And talking smack to those other five people, and just that couch multiplayer, right? That local, right with your buddies, having a good time, strategizing with each other, going, hey,
talking
I got this, you got that.
Yeah, punch in the arm.
Talking smack.
Elbowing each other, trying to, you know, hit their buttons for them.
No, couch co-op, we are all about the couch co-op. So,
something we brought up. I know, I brought up main time. Us?
How couch killer, not co-op.
Almost feels like it's done.
There is
so many games don't
know
it.
You
can so many problem. Games nowadays that go up. Online multiplayer
so we do
done.
We do actually have
they don't even support two-player.
Yeah.
Or anything. It's nothing.
It's
split-screen multiplayer is a thing
it's
of the
so
past,
frustrating.
And don't bring that up in the forums. Let
that's
me tell
why
you
I only play old games, because...
Yeah.
And even though the TVs have gotten bigger, we used to play on the tiniest TV.
Yes.
And we made it work, damn it.
Yep. Yeah, we played that. I mean, I remember, you know, playing split-screen games, right? And we were splitting the wires into two different TVs and taping off so you couldn't cheat and hit your buddies half of the screen, right? That was fun. I mean, that's really, like, to me, when Shane was showing me this game and he was trying to get my interest in, you know, joining on and helping out, I think that was the thing that really caught me. Was like, I love this idea. That you can sit with your buddies and play a game and hang out and do the couch multiplayer. And skill-based, right? This is no cupcake. Hopefully you can pick it up and start playing right away without being too frustrating. But at the same time, there's some level of skill cap.
Have you really run into that? You've done some playtesting and stuff. So as you brought different people in for playtesting, have you run into, like, I just get killed every time, and now I don't even want to bother?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Any single person that's... If you want to say any single person that we would call a gamer, if anybody that identifies himself as a gamer, they very quickly become, if you want to say, successful in the game.
Okay.
Anybody that's not you that wouldn't consider themselves a gamer, maybe doesn't play very often, not used to that mechanic of flying a ship kind of thing, then they struggle for a little while. But that's where I always say, I always point out, think about Donkey Kong, the first Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. How long was it before you beat the first level?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Larry is still working on it. He's still
well, he just got it last week.
That's so true. But he's still working on it.
But I can pour a mean tap.
I was just gonna say that.
You are like the tapper king. Tapper. Oh, I got a version of tapper too to play, by the way.
I'd say we're gonna have a competition.
I have tapper as well.
Oh, yeah.
Larry, you got your best friend.
Huh? I'd say
you have a full tapper machine with the little. That's the one that I want.
Yeah, like, cool. If the one cabinet that I could have, it would be tapper.
Not to go too far on a tangent, but you should tell them that you've actually got some of your arcade machines hooked up so that your high score goes on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yep. Okay, that is pretty freaking awesome.
So is it like a service or something? Like, how does that work?
You just buy it, like, so there's all kinds of high score save kits, mm-hmm. and then these have another, like, Ethernet type of card, or whatever you want to say, on top of the high score save kit that then goes on the PCB, the main PCB. And then it connects just through an Ethernet cord to your router.
Okay.
And
very cool.
Yeah, in terms of, like, there's a... They have the website that they put all the high scores on, and it worldwide keeps refreshing.
So everybody that's got that kit.
Yep.
That is really cool, actually.
So, yeah, I like that. Not to go too far.
One of my lifetime achievements is right now, I have the high score on Donkey Kong 3 on that particular
service.
Of course, not in the world.
Just the same to have it on
the people who are going to buy and have that and hook it up are going to be enthusiasts of that game.
So right now, you are the very best at squirting a monkey in the butt.
Yes.
Yes. I guess so.
Could be.
I'm very proud of. Out of the three people that
could be very angry zoologist, that's going to be like, I beg to differ.
Again, when you came up with your name for your LLC,
yes.
Arcadeaholics.
Arcadeaholics.
He means it.
You really mean it, don't you? Holy crap, you guys mean it.
Yes, big time.
Okay.
Yep.
So the next thing is, why did you guys... I mean, okay, so you had a particular game in mind that you wanted to see. You, again, are into arcade games, mainly classical ones by the sound of it. And this, I like this retro feel of this game. I mean, it's got an amazing retro feel. Like I told you, I like this I drop in, I play, I blow the crap out of my friends, and we're done, and we can go out and have a beer.
You're going down, I'm sorry.
Watch the footage at the end of this. Yeah, we'll see about that. Which means he's going to cream my ass at the end of this. But that's okay.
Yeah. Whoa!
Not phrasing!
Are we not doing phrasing?
Phrasing!
Please, phrasing.
Okay, so Arcadeaholics holds true to that. And again, so you found a game that you want to release. You're going to release this. I'm sorry, you've been developing it. You're getting it going. You haven't done a Kickstart yet, but I take it that's in the works?
So that's something, what's going to be a big deciding factor, what happens in the future is what happens at MGC. So if people come play the game, and they're like, wow, this is great, you know, we get a really good reception, well then we know that we really, really should keep developing and putting the rest of the things that we want to put in. And that we should expand what platforms we want to put it on.
Right.
In terms of a Kickstarter, that's something that we've definitely talked about and are considering in the future. And like in terms of more platforms, so we're definitely planning for sure 100% PC. You really want to get it on Steam, and then we've talked about other platforms as well.
You gonna try to greenlight on Steam?
The problem is, well, one thing is they're getting rid of Greenlight.
Yeah, that's gonna die. So,
yeah, Greenlight.
They might replace
going
it with something that looks like.
I bet that. Yeah,
they are so replacing it. It essentially goes to, from what I understand, they're going into like a Steam Direct, and you just pay a price to list a game. There's no approval process through the community for any game.
I would say that might not.
Yeah, we'll get that on another episode. $1 million.
Yeah, we're going to have to cover that another episode. That's got to be a rant.
I completely understand.
I like Greenlight.
I'm hoping that what they come out with is still reasonable.
Well, and there are other ways to go around that, again.
There's other places, but Steam is obviously a good platform.
So currently, right now, again, it's a PC-developed game. Are you developing any particular engine, or is this just... Unity?
It's actually on Game Maker Studio.
Oh, Game Maker Studio.
Yeah,
okay.
So we actually...
I think you guys are the first ones I've had with Game Maker Studio.
Yeah, he started it on Game Maker. You know, I got to a point where I thought, well, I should really do an assessment and make sure the Game Maker is the right place to be.
Yeah.
And I looked around, and, you know, I think for the kind of game we're making, I think Game Maker is a perfect
place
to be.
It's 2D, right? 2D.
Yeah, for 2D
games, it's really a great place for 2D games.
We had talked about making a beer pong game that actually dispensed beer.
Sure.
But we started that particular platform because it's the perfect platform for that kind of game.
So yes.
It's got a decent physics engine as far as shooting and tossing and things like that. And again, for 2D games, it's absolutely brilliant.
Dalwell and Hotline Miami were made on it. So.
No,
there's actually been
some really big
Hyper Light Drifter.
Game
Maker. Yeah, no, it's a really good platform. It's a good solid platform. It doesn't have a lot of the extra junk that you don't need. Going back to what you talked about earlier, things that just distract away from the game.
Yep.
Sometimes it's all about the mechanics. And Game Maker Studio is a solid mechanics.
Yep.
And everything else, you can, as long as your mechanics are good and your gameplay is solid, you don't have to worry about all the flashy crap in the background that distract away from the game.
So, again, it sounds like you've got a decent amount developed when it comes down to core mechanics, your ships, everything. Is it really just kind of having people play it and then see kind of where it goes from there, like seeing how people play it and adjusting, or is there any kind of major things you still want to try to work on about
it? Or is it just maybe more additional content to add to it, more ships, maps, or something along those lines?
I think a lot of it is that, polishing. I think that we have a certain amount of maps that we feel like are really, really... Well, they play really well, and we have some maybe that need a little more play time, and we keep adjusting, maybe aren't quite on like the sixth or seventh iteration yet.
Yeah.
We also, I guess we haven't really talked about one of the mechanics of the game, which is that each ship, when you pick your ship, you also get to pick different charge shots. So you can charge up shots, but then they cost fuel to use those shots.
Oh.
And so there's different charge shots in the game, and right now we have about three of them. We have a whole list of other ones that we'd like to try, but again, it becomes, the mechanics are really important to us. The mechanics, the balance, making everything feel like it's tight and balanced and plays really well. So every time you add in another element, it takes a lot of balance in. And sometimes, it seems fine, and then you get on a map. And all of a sudden, that map, you're like, oh man, that thing's broken. Feels a little broken. And so there's just a lot of stuff like that. There's some overall polish. Like, I have no settings menu, right? Right now, there's no way to like change the resolution of the game. Little things like that. That, again, we've really gone in and tried to focus on making the game play really well and fun to play. And I figure I can come back and add.
I can add
options later, right? That's not that important.
It's like if we have the support, multiplayer would be a big. Feature that we're considering.
Online multiplayer would be a big one.
That's what I meant.
Online
multiplayer.
Online.
That'd be great. So that's a big thing that we would be excited, about to get in if there is the support. And like a big thing that we haven't put in yet that we really want to get into is like the planetary type gravity. So like with the map, let's say you have like a black hole, or like you're talking about space war before.
Right.
Like that type of gravity.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a couple points.
Right, where you're fighting around.
Kind of
influences
how you go around those and so on. So
right now gravity is basically a direction on a map, right? It can be up, down, left, right. But to a certain point on the map where the gravity for your ship changes depending on where you are in conjunction with that point.
I can see
that in. And I don't think it's that difficult of a feature to add. We just haven't put it in and balanced.
Yeah.
Won't have it ready for
MGC. So the balance, again, is a big thing.
A lot of this was like, we got to get this ready so people can actually play it at MGC. Play what we have. Let's kind of get this working really nice.
So going back to MGC.
A couple points of gravity, it would be really interesting.
Because
you can see your ship's a bit of a wobble.
So, because I want to keep bringing this, because Midwest Gaming Classic is about 2 weeks away, people.
Yeah, what really excited.
Crazy. At Midwest Gaming
Classic. We're actually going to be in the main arcade hall.
Oh.
Wow.
So the Cosmotron's arcade machine, if you want to call it the control station, is going to be in the main arcade hall. So we're hoping to see lots and lots and lots of people playing it. Hopefully there's going to be a line of people behind it.
Not only that, but the after party, too, which was something we really thought about, right? The Saturday night.
The VIG party?
The Saturday night. I felt like it was kind of a big deal. Again, I go back to my experience with Killer Queen.
Yeah.
Right? We sat there and played. I mean, that
people
were
playing until all hours in the morning.
We were like, I sat there forever.
Yeah. So, sorry if you wanted VIG tickets. I think they're all sold out.
Sold out.
Tickets. So you won't do that. But they do have an after party on Saturday night that's amazing.
No, that's a private deal.
You heard nothing.
He's
old and he even put him in a home.
But you can still come out.
Viewer
question.
Your question, Jeremy asks, what does a programmer need to do to make controls responsive, which actually is a big problem in retro-themed games.
Yeah.
I do think that is one of my big whines. I review a lot of them, and we have a rule here, and it carries on to my station, too, that if I don't like it, I don't show it on my station, because I think that developers get enough hate as it is. But one of the number one things that won't get it on my station is screwed up controls. I don't know why it's so hard. So what is so hard about it, and what does make good controls?
That's a good question. You know, I didn't have to do anything specific with Game Maker Studio as far as the responsiveness of the controls. Like, you know, when you hit a button, it happens. Although there were some portions that I really did have to spend some time tweaking, like even the feel of the gravity and the way that the ship kind of, when it moves and you let off the throttle and, you know, that the ship feels right.
Acceleration, deceleration.
The acceleration, the deceleration, there was just a lot of tweaking. We've played it a lot, and we've had actually a small group of people have put in a lot of play time on the game. We've got kind of a small group of folks that have played it and actually spent a lot of time playing and giving a lot of feedback. And just really tweaking it. It takes time. It takes a lot of tweaking.
Yeah,
playtesting.
So I mean, yes. When you guys try, and you can let us know what you think. I mean,
we think that the controls
are very responsive. It's all digital. There's no analog or anything. It's all just, you know, you tap and it moves that certain amount or whatever. But it does feel precise. So hopefully you agree, and we'll find out.
Yes, we are.
I'm interested in the feedback.
Those of you who are watching the podcast on the after, after the actual recording, you'll see this during the show. But those of you guys who are watching the live stream, right after this, we're going to be playing, and we'll be sending that out. So.
And maybe the episode won't air.
Okay.
Mechanics.
Wow, damn.
Those are mechanics. Okay, that's the episode.
That's it.
She gets the recruit.
Yeah, she gets the recruit. You're right, that is now hers for the night.
Hey!
Okay, so, again, so the game is effectively a PC platform game. And again, your love of arcades has inspired you to make a cabinet. Not something you're thinking about doing afterwards? I mean, I've seen your cabinet. It's freaking amazing. Again, there will be pictures on the site and links to their site as well. You've done some...
You do good work. You do really good work.
The design on your cabinet is really...
I appreciate it.
Solid. So, I mean, I like the... It's got a very retro feel to it, which goes great with the game.
And them curves at the top.
Oh, I mean, everything about it is really amazing. So, you're only going to do it as a one-of?
As in the machine itself?
Yes.
It looks like it's a lot of work, to be fair. Like,
No. I mean, but again, if it's a one-of...
Just tell me how much, I will pay you.
If it's a one-of, nobody else will ever get a chance to see. Well, besides online.
Sure.
And maybe at MGC, a few other events, but... You know, I mean, this might be something... there are so many great retro arcades popping up.
Yeah.
you know, Galloping Ghost does old games, but they also have some new games. We have friends who are in the business, where there's a new one just popped up down in Orlando. We're about to go do a road trip to.
God, what major city doesn't have a barcade now?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
All bars.
Right. I mean, is this something
really
you would
is,
in the
like,
long run maybe think about producing?
That is very interesting, but in terms, like that would be fun. Like, I think Dave and I would enjoy that, and that'd be fun, and what would have to happen is we'd have to design a more economical cabinet.
You really
think? So that's easily because like, they made it. I think. Oh, no, I think they know. Probably.
I really don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you how much it costs. Right? I will tell
especially
you.
Especially because it's a labor of love. His yeah. SO may be watching this show. He really does not want to say how much it costs to make it. She doesn't need to know. She does. No,
like, that would be fun. But in terms of, if you look at the business side. So in terms of business, what is our time better spent on? You know, like, honestly, I think that would be tons of fun. But we'd be better off, we're two guys, you know, we'd be better off spending more time designing more games, more software.
Oh, well, see, now that brings up the next point. Thing is,
they're just working on their current one.
Oh, wait, no. They've started a company called Arcadeaholics.
Yep.
So with, you know, so I take it this is something you are planning future games with?
We
bought it up!
We do have numerous ideas.
He waited at least until he brought it up.
We, of course, have numerous ideas. I don't know when we'll first start working on our next prototype, but we have numerous ideas, and it's kind of like, you know, letting those ideas simmer over time, just like, you know, just like yeast in a beer. Let it grow, you know?
Right. Let it ferment.
Let it ferment.
Are you primarily looking at arcade style, or are you looking at others? Styles like more of a long story format or any of that kind
of
stuff.
So they're going to make our AAA first person shooter.
That's their goal.
So with Arcadeaholics, it's mechanics, you know, that's very important to us. The gameplay, you know, those types of things, and then that multiplayer experience, whether it's you're directly next to each other or, you know, like we said, we're considering maybe doing some online type stuff. But it's, the main point is just these really nice, fun, I don't want to say simple, but, you know, skilled. You need skill. It's not just an easy game that you get bored with, but that, you know, that type of theme. And then we have different, okay, you know, well, what type of game is it going to be? Is it going to be 2D isometric? You know, what is it going to look like? So those are some things we've talked about. So.
This game, again, you've kind of mentioned a couple times as kind of core focuses of this game, but this game has two things that I really appreciate. Again, I really appreciate the direct interaction. Again, I've really learned to appreciate to play directly with my friends, and it's just something you can't replace.
Yes.
And the second thing is, again, in today's day and age, where you're having all these, you know, crazy FPSs with progression and all these like different layers, it's nice to have mechanics that you can pick apart, and you don't just get shot in the back and be like, "Oh man, it came out of nowhere. I have no way to like learn from that experience." It looks like it's something you can say, like, oh, hey, like, this ship is acting this way. I can kind of maneuver and plan around it.
Yep.
And, like, I really appreciate those kind of mechanics. It's not, mm-hmm. It doesn't just feel random. It's something that, it's not too complicated, where it can actually decompose and learn from it, you know? Like,
well, and that ship that guy's playing isn't because he played for 40 hours and unlocked it and you don't have access.
Yeah, yes, thank you.
That really ticks me
or
off.
Or paid, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Well, yeah. Bought it through DLC.
Yeah.
You know,
or maybe my friend bought a map pack and I can't play with him anymore because I don't have that.
Or
map
he bought it at the exclusive vendor.
Yeah, that really all that stuff I just don't like it. I really going back to kind of.
Pretty
the
sure
core
no
mechanic.
One likes that.
No, except for the guys buying the damn DLC.
Yeah,
can everybody in your game can everybody show up with the same ship?
That's how we're planning. Yeah.
In versus mode.
Yeah, in versus mode. We have two different modes. So there's versus, that's every man and woman for themselves. You know, and like the story of the game, you're fighting for these territories. So it takes place in the future, and you're fighting for these territories so you can get resources for your country. And it's you're just battling, you just want to gain that territory for your country. But then in team mode, then it's kind of like, you know, you think about like Counter-Strike. Maybe only one person can have the AWP. Maybe they defeat Source. Maybe only one person can have the bazooka. You know, stuff like that. Is that only one person can have the sniper, only one person can have the beast. So then you're not just, here's four beasts flying around. You know,
sometimes that can be kind of fun. Because, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, You know, here's an obscure reference Dylan will get.
It's Larry. It's welcome to our world.
It's like an ARCA race. You know, they're all the exact same cars, but
it's just tweaking.
But so now it's just the person flying.
Only because of these guys. I only know that because of these guys. Okay,
racing families.
Yeah, they came from racing families. So yeah.
So I mean, you have the same ship. So it's like, all right. So now it's just a test of skill. You know, it's like, all right. We all have the same ships. We all have the same environment.
Right.
Now, who's got the best?
But
other times, it's like team
versus mode.
I don't like that. So, right. Never
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's could be a little maybe, you know, it's cool that you can do both elements. You can have, you know, elements where someone's sort of maybe specializing in one particular kind of ship, or, you know, there's only one person on your team that has that. And then there's other, you know, you could actually have all the be the same too, and
yeah,
that's when you're really going, I'm way better than you.
So that happens occasionally as well. All right, so we still haven't touched on a lot of things I do want to touch on. So earlier we were listening to the music. Am I going to step on your toes?
No,
on this
one? You
sure?
Go for it.
You got this?
You go for it.
All right. So, who did your music for this?
So, we have a friend out in Germany.
Ooh.
Chris D.L. Queen, nicknamed Scully. So, he has made all of the music, all of it. And this the specific track that we're all bobbing our heads to.
Yeah, literally, everybody at the table is going there. Like this, yep. Too.
So, he made that specifically for our game. So, I actually came across just doing, you know, searching for days for music.
Yeah.
Because we can't... I don't want to pay $200 per song. That's how a lot of this is commercially. Like, you buy a song to have it commercially, you got to pay $200.
At least.
That's just insane.
At least,
You know, that's a lot of money. So, you know, we're not interested in spending that. He's letting us use the music, and so some of the tracks are things that he's made prior, and then he's done some edits to them, and then, like, the main Cosmotrons theme, like I said, he made specifically for our game. And he's made a couple other.
All right. It does have a vibe of 80s arcade.
It was.
Yeah,
we list, like you said, he found a bunch of his music, and I'm not a techno person whatsoever, but
right.
I like music. I appreciate good music, right? And I listen to it, and I'm like, this is video game music.
Yeah,
this is retro video game music, right?
Really.
And so we reached out to him, and we came to an agreement to use the music in our thing, and in our game, and. What was it? Maybe a couple weeks later, all of a sudden he goes, you know, I made this track for you guys, specifically for the game.
Oh, that's cool.
And we listened to it, and we were like, that's the new title track.
It is
that
really
thing
awesome.
Is good.
Yeah.
Right? No, and it just really resonated. It was kind of crazy how much he made one track specifically for the game, and we were like, that's it.
It's perfect.
Right there, perfect.
And I gotta tell you, I really, really struggled. We really struggled, like, searching through music and finding what we wanted to use, because there's so much, it's just so overpowering. Like, we didn't want something that overpowered the game or overshadowed the game, you know. So some of the tracks are kind of a little bit more ambient, you know. There's a little bit of classical, you know, some piano in there, but also with some electronic. So a nice mix to kind of make it feel like you're in, you know, space, kind of flowing and that kind of thing. And it's not like super stressful. But then what we do is we have music that's a little bit more like that. But then we also have tracks that are a little bit more like. Fast pace, like, hey, you're about to die, kind of thing. And that's for those maps where it's like the volcano's shooting at you, the lightning's trying to get you, or it's a race map, you know, that tempo's faster and it's you know, a little bit more, you know, you say less ambient kind of.
So one of the concepts with our maps, I guess, is there's really kind of two different styles, right? There's one style of map that's a little just a normal map and it is what it is. And then there's the ones that have like lightning and stalactites and there's a little more danger in that map. And so, again, the music kind of, we have kind of two sets of music, one that's a little more ambient and chill, and then the music that goes with the maps that are a little more dangerous, you can kind of feel the music, right?
It
fits really well, I think.
But
it's kind of neat.
But that's it. I mean, because of the feel of the game and the feel you're going for in the game, the classic arcade feel, it's all about the music. I mean, that was all, you know.
That was a big part,
big
right?
part of classic
that's
arcade
That's how you
games.
Felt like you were in an arcade.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, we were talking earlier about the VR,
right.
VR retro arcade.
It does.
It's all about the music that's
right?
playing
yeah.
and the sounds of the games that are playing. And this game's got that kind of feel to it. So it's another element. It's not just graphics. It's not just gameplay mechanics. It's also the audio track you put to the game. Yep. So it makes a big difference on that.
All graphics done by you guys?
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, so
painstakingly drawn.
Pixel by pixel.
Back to the old man.
There's nothing wrong with
I drew that with plot points.
There's nothing wrong with a little bit of pixel editing there. So, again, because... So if people want to find the demo of this game, where can they find that at?
So the first demo, our concept demo that we called, we have actually taken that down.
I saw that one.
Because
missing,
we've learned what we needed to from it. So in terms of, we're talking about having another demo available before MGC or shortly after.
Or right at that time.
Right around that time.
It'd be nice to have it. At, so if people say, I want to play this again,
right, they can actually
they can leave MGC
it.
And go
so,
find it.
So maybe after, hopefully. After that would be April 7th, 8th, 9th,
yes.
There will be a demo available again for this game.
We'll definitely that's, link it up.
That's what we're shooting for.
That's
and
what we're shooting for.
Again, it will depend on if we feel if it's polished enough to let it out.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of preparation we need to do to get ready for MGC, and that's our top priority right now.
Right.
Yeah. Secondary priority, we'll get that demo out.
And we keep saying MGC, that's Midwest Gaming Classic. If they should come out with a demo after or around that time, we will put links on our site for it as well.
But regardless, if people want to learn more about the game, see any videos, where can they check you out online?
Definitely go to our Facebook page, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/CosmotronsGame. And I forgot to say it like Cosmotrons.
That chill flow, even though you're blowing the crap out of each other.
Yeah, have that noise play when you hit the when the game starts.
Cosmotrons Game. If they just search that on Facebook.
We will also have links to their website and their Facebook page on our site as well.
I don't think there was a user suggestion.
Right now. Right this second. It just
there was a user suggestion?
Wow, user suggestion.
I gotta do something.
What was the user suggestion?
Grappling hook.
Who said that?
You like tow somebody else around?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Jeremy.
That's a cool
hi, Jeremy.
Throw in a grappling hook.
That's not a bad idea, actually. You could put it out there.
If you hit somebody and pull them. Your enemy and just drag them around and swing them into the terrain.
Or into the volcano. Drop from the volcano.
Would this be a grappling hook like a scorpion
where I pull you to me?
Yeah.
Or would it be over close
and
then I shoot you?
And it's got to be really, really low fidelity.
Get out. You know, I like to swing them around into the environment.
Or is it literally just
you grab onto the environment?
Or if you could grab onto the environment and pull yourself.
And I feel like the rear shooter.
That's a cool idea too.
Yeah, the rear shooter ship is the one for that.
That gets the grappling hook.
That makes sense.
I like that idea.
Or this entirely new.
Somebody was just commenting on how big your machine is. In fact, you could live in your machine or sit in your machine.
So it's funny they say that. Did they watch the video?
Evidently they did.
Okay, so I wonder if that was somebody that watched the video.
They must have, because I watched that video.
Did you watch that?
Yeah.
No. So again, for you guys who are coming with
Midwest Gaming Classic, definitely check it out.
This machine is huge. I mean, it's really big. And so, again, give you a comparison. TMT4, the four-player version of that, is tiny compared to this game, okay? So, just this thing
is... Yeah, have fun moving it, guys.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys are helping?
Oh, no, we are not.
No, that's not work that way. Yeah, no problem.
As I'm actually going to drive inside of the cabinet to MGC. Dave's going to push.
Well, yeah, we're going to sneak people in inside the cabinet to save on admissions.
Like a Trojan
horse. No, there you go. That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell Dan.
So again, it's gonna be demonstrating the game at MGC. Really looking forward to checking it out. Again, if you're going to be there, definitely stop at the arcade hall and check it out. It sounds pretty BA.
Yeah, you know we will. And actually, we will do some more footage of the actual system while we're doing our live feed from MGC.
Yeah.
Midwest Gaming Classic. You will see us doing some live feeds from there. We'll definitely stop by this machine and check it out, and definitely put that online. All right. Gentlemen, any other questions?
I have one more. Single player. So how's that going?
So for single player, we've had some different ideas. As of right now, the single player that we have, it's kind of like almost like a time attack type mode. So for each map, you can get in each map, you can practice it, you can learn where the fuel is, you can get used to controlling your ship. And then you got these targets that you can shoot. So you can practice shooting, And then you have these beacons, like these rings that you can collect. So the, it's kind of like, and the timer's going, so you know, for those people that really like Time Attack. So you can just try and go as fast as you want. And in terms of future development, we've talked about having kind of like, you know, like arcade high score. You know, like your high score is the fast time. And then in terms of other single player stuff, we've talked about some stuff. Obviously, the main focus of this game is multiplayer.
Yep.
So that's where we keep struggling with, okay, well, let's say we spend 2 months on a single player. What if we just added it to multiplayer and made multiplayer better? You know, what are people going to enjoy more?
Yeah, as far as where do you put your effort? What are you going to reap more benefit from? What do people want to see? So I guess the neat part is we're open to feedback, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so if people do check the game out at MGC, we're really looking to get feedback there. We're excited to talk to people. We're excited to see you guys at MGC and
build a community around the game too.
Get feedback and hear what you guys are like. This is the direction we'd like to see. You know, I'm not saying we're gonna let it, you know, everybody dictate because there'd be a lot of questions.
But if you want to see this game,
but we're taking it into
account. Go more places.
And you know, now as far as your single player goes, are you throwing in AI ships?
So that's something that we've talked about, and we have, you know, we've kind of played around and started to develop some of that. So again, that's one of those things that it's like we want to add more things. So we're gonna see what happens after MGC, and we've talked about like big bosses, like maybe you do a couple players together, you team up and you go against a big boss, or maybe it's single player against a big boss kind of thing, or like just kind of small AI type things too. We've talked about all that.
Yeah. And some of it, too, is, you know, we've talked about even ideas that it's like, okay, are there things like maybe, you know, a cooperative against the computer mode that you could use either in single player or as three people working together, right? Yeah. The kind of add both to the multiplayer portion of the game and the single player portion of the game, you know, so there's things like that, too, where we're going, how, maybe we can kill two birds with one stone and add features to kind of both parts of the game instead of just first putting it into single player, so... you know, things like that too. Maybe we've talked about even things like potentially toying around with horde mode, right? Where you just eventually there's enemies more and more and more coming at you, and eventually you're gonna get taken over. Like there's no winning. It's literally how long can you survive, right?
You've seen this in other games.
And then imagine you can sit down with four of your three of your other friends, you know, four people to cooperatively try to live, see how long we can get through a horde mode and trying out different combinations of ship types and charge shots and, you know, trying different strategies to try to see how long you can live. And, you know, that could also be a feature for single player because you can obviously do that by yourself.
Okay, I had another comment from the Peanut Gallery. Building large bosses and unique air and ammunitions. That's not a bad idea.
At the end of the show, I'm really interested to see how the ships and charge shots worked out.
I'm
really excited to give this a try after we're done.
Yeah.
Needs more cowbell. I like that.
Needs more cowbell.
Always we'll need make more sure cowbell.
Cowbell in there. Maybe that
kind of excited. Like a drink of my ship.
Oh. All right, gentlemen. Any other questions? I think we have pretty well.
Yeah. No, let's shut this off so we can death. Play.
Yeah. Let me go right there and drink some more beer.
Yeah.
So one more time, gentlemen, you are with.
We're Arcadaholics. Shane and Dave. We're the makers, developers of Cosmotron.
And they are going to be at the Midwest Gaming Classic in about 2 weeks. When this episode drops on Thursday, the official episode drops on Thursday, we are literally just 2 weeks and 1 day away. You really need to come to the Midwest Gaming Classic. The website for that will be linked on this as well. Come stop by these guys. Check out their game. They're going to be in the main arcade hall.
If you know zero about the Midwest Gaming Classic, 30-second synopsis. All right.
Give it.
It's a weekend... takeover of a hotel. It's a bunch of arcade games, pinball, retro games. Everything is on free play when it comes to, you know, the arcade stuff.
Yeah.
There's a history.
You literally pay to get in, and that's it. That's the only cost.
Don't forget the board game.
You've got the Gaming History Museum. Milcog, who is going to...
Milcog will be there.
Gaming library for tabletop and things. They've got plenty of vendors, shows, presentation speakers. Industry people from gaming history, past, present.
I'm looking for a Famicom disk system. So if anybody's got one out there that they're gonna be selling out there, I want one.
Again, there's plenty of great things to check out. You're always gonna stubble across
that
something.
Was cool.
We're hanging out and drinking. I have some very excellent. Our group's got some very excellent displays.
We are gonna. Some amazing
We're gonna have the Vive this year.
Yeah,
I've got some great multiplayer Zelda action.
Yeah,
Well, what else? What else you guys? You got that?
All the plug and plays.
Adventures of Link. The
all
plug
of them.
And plays again. Yeah,
yeah, all of them.
Tons of plug and plays.
I'm going to be running a 90s style Best Buy display retro wall of televisions.
Oh God, yes,
beautiful.
There is going to be some amazing stuff at the Guys Games and Beer. Stop down, check us out.
If you have no idea what the vibe is, that is just.
Well, yeah, we will have all sorts of VR experiences, but we're more than that. We're going to be showing some really cool old hardware.
Vectri.
We are going to have something very unique, a linked Vectrex game.
Yeah.
With two Vectrex players playing.
It made my head explode. I'm sorry. A networked Vectrex game? And the way they did it is super clever.
It's really amazing.
I am very impressed by the technology.
So, yeah. So, a lot of cool stuff going. But these guys will be in the main arcade hall. They will be there all weekend long. Definitely check it out. The family day is Sunday. If you got young ones, bring them on family. It's really nothing. I really get a kick out of family day at this thing because it's amazing passing the torch. A lot of hardcore pinball gamers and arcade gamers showing people who have never seen this stuff, bringing in, little kids. The best thing is always the grandpas.
Hey, man, your kid was there.
The grandpas carrying around those step ladders or stools for their grandkids so they can get up to the other games. There is nothing like this event. You really have to check it out. We will have links on this particular episode to that as well. All right, gentlemen, shall we take it out? Rob, give us the usual.
Thanks for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. Of course, if you want more Guys, Games, and Beer, you can check out the website, www.guysgamesandbeer.net, which is like the central nerve point where like everything links. We've got links to our Facebook. We've got links to our Twitter. But don't worry, you don't have to go there because you can go to us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Game giveaways every Friday.
I may be posting hints to our trip. Some of maybe a couple of our trivia questions on our Facebook. So if you're going to be part of the VIG game event on Friday, you might want to take a look at a couple of our posts coming up over the next week or two.
And the prizes are going to be amazing.
Yeah,
they're going to be amazing.
We're going to have a pretty good prize pool for VIG trivia on that Friday night of MGC.
Pub trivia, yes.
So if you're going to be a part of that, again, promotional flyer I'm going to put out this weekend so everybody knows. We got prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. Test your trivia knowledge against others. I think it's going to be a great time.
The best in the industry, damn it. You're going to be trying.
Also,
on Twitter, at Guys Games Beer, notice that there is no and.
I will be giving away another free game tomorrow, so keep an eye on the site. There will be a free game.
Which for you guys will be yesterday, so you're screwed.
Well, if you're watching us live,
you
know to come on Wednesdays. I normally give away.
But if you're not watching it live, sometimes on Fridays.
Yeah.
Fridays
are Facebook. Free game Fridays.
Yep. That thing.
You should just watch us live.
Yeah, you could. If you're watching us live right now, we're still going to be on for a little bit. We're going to be playing. Don't worry if you are on YouTube, www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer.
You can watch us
playing during the podcast. I'm going to just put some of the gameplay up there so you can see it right off the screen. It'll probably be better than the one you see on the live stream. So if you did watch the live stream, you know that the actually posted version is always better as far as sound and everything else. All right, thanks for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. I really appreciate it. We'll be on next week again. Same bat time, same bat channel. See ya!
Thank you, guys!
Thank you to our guests.
Thank you, guys.